You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, my man. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Interested to talk about a system that has been thinned out a bit recently because of recent moves. We're talking about the Washington Nationals today. They moved a couple prospects in order to get Adam Eaton. So I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are on the state of the system.
It's much weaker than I was actually kind of surprised when I dug into it. The three guys they gave up were easily top 10 guys for me, probably top 7. Giolito is obviously I have him still number 1 in this system, barely, but I still have him number 1 here. Lopez would have been number 3. With Giolito, Robles, Lopez, and Dunning would have been 6. And it's a lot. That's a lot of talent to lose for. I mean, I know he's a good player, better real life guy because of the contract. But for Adam Eaton, I find that to be kind of strange.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they did it, but at the same time, it seems like they were selling you low, especially on Giolito. I'm not a big Lopez guy, and I think Dunning is more of a wild card, kind of a lottery ticket kind of guy personally. So, I don't mind the move. I'm always a big proponent of, you do what you have to do to help you win now. And Giolito probably would have been a back end of the rotation guy for them this year. Obviously in future years, people are projecting him to be a front of the rotation kind of guy, but I mean, for this year, I think you know, they're a team that wants to win now. Mm-hmm. They've come close to making it to a World Series, and I think they're taking their shot right now.
Yeah, I think the window's kind of closing here. It's weird to say that because, I mean, I think that's assuming Bryce Harper goes.
Which you would have to assume that is probably the case. So
yeah, and I think they kind of know that. I mean, they didn't spend big money and go long term on a closer, which is kind of a strange deal. You know what I mean? I know they have a couple in house options that they like. They didn't go that route. And they also, they're an organization that does extremely well in Latin America at developing players. So maybe they're gambling on that. I mean, they signed Lopez for like $17,000 and look what he turned into. A trade piece for a guy they like Adam Eaton. And they got a couple guys we're going to touch on with Robles and Juan Soto that are popped up recently in the last 2-3 years. And well, obviously because they haven't been pros that long, but popped up in the last year and a half for Soto, and they look like studs. So maybe they're just gambling on what they can do.
Well, let's start with guys that are a little bit closer to the majors. I know a lot of their kind of top tier guys in their system are a little bit farther away. Any guys that could make a major league impact this year?
Eric Fetty is the obvious option. Got him as a Tommy John guy out of UNLV in 2014. He was having a very good season. He was on his way to becoming a top 10 pick. He ended up going around pick 22, 23, I believe. But he had Tommy John surgery in May. of the draft year. So 2 months before the draft, he went under the knife. They took him 18th overall after that, so they did still like him. The Nationals do kind of well with these guys until they – I mean, but they also have guys like Strasburg who get hurt in other ways. But the Tommy John, he's back up to 97 with the fastball. He touches low. He sits low 90s, though. With the slider's a plus pitch. Gets swings and misses with it. The changeup's coming along. Could be average third pitch. I think Fetty's a solid number two guy. He'll put up high K's. He's going to be a strong K rate guy. He's interesting. He's got a high floor, I think, though, because the command and control is so good. So I think at worst he's a mid rotation guy. So he's a guy worth investing, but the price is going to be a little high because he's close to the majors now. You know what I mean? So
do you really think he has a shot of making it in 2017? Because personally, I mean, if you look at the history of the Nationals and Tommy John guys, and like you said, they've had a number of these guys who have had Tommy John young and well in the minor leagues or in college. They tend to slow roast these guys. It's why Giolito took a while. It's why Jordan Zimmerman took a while. While they were very cautious with Strasburg, I think he's unlikely to hit the major leagues this year. Do you disagree with that, or
I think he's the first guy up.
Oh wow!
Happens. I mean, because you got to remember the part of the reason they're able to slow roast guys so much like that is because they had Giolito and Lopez in front of him. You know what I mean? Those are that matters too. And there's some depth here, but the depth isn't here as much anymore. And the Nationals are obviously going to go for it this year. And I think they've seen AJ Cole enough. I think you know what he kind of is. I don't think you go that route anymore for a long-term absence. I think you go to Fetty. And another bonus thing to add is with the DL now being from 15 to 10 days, I think it's more likely Fetty comes up.
Okay.
When someone, you know what I mean, Strasburg might have a hangnail, he might have to miss two starts and go on the 10-day DL, and Fetty will jump in, or it might be too hot. You never know. It might be one of the two for him. So
okay. any other guys that are close to the majors that could have an impact this year?
Do you like relief prospects?
I mean, do you think they're worth anything? I mean, if they're potential for them to get holds or close?
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
This is a team that, like you said, we thought would go out and get an elite closer, or at least a established closer. They did not as of yet. That may change. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go and try to acquire a proven closer, because Sean Kelly, yeah, while he has some interesting skills, probably isn't the guy they necessarily want to rely on in the ninth in October.
Mm-hmm. I think Blake Treinen probably gets that job. But I mean, another guy with an outside chance is Coda Glover. I mean, but with Dusty Baker there, I mean, he could probably rule out a rookie getting a closing job.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the one thing I do like how he lets his players run. But, I mean, Coda Glover has nasty stuff, though. I think closer is the ultimate ceiling for him. It just probably won't happen this year. Fastball touches 100 miles an hour, 97, 98 with heavy sink with a hard slider. And he also has a curveball and a changeup, and he's a reliever, so he doesn't throw those last two that often. But he's filthy. I mean, he probably has, honest to God, some of the best stuff in the major leagues. In short bursts like that. So I think he could be a guy that's very, very much worth investing in. We have a 20-team dynasty league with holds. I think he's available in that league. So, I mean, he's a guy, just to give you a frame of reference, so I think he's a guy worth investing in formats like that, because you might get a future closer for absolutely nothing.
All right. Any other guys? Will Brian Goodwin finally get a shot, or?
Yeah, I think he's a fourth outfielder. He'll show flashes. I mean, he's got the skill set. But I think with the combination of him not being able to stay healthy and the strikeout issues, and I think he's a fourth outfielder with a little bit of pop and versatility. So there's some value there, maybe some deep NL-only formats, or like we said, a big 20-team league. But I guess it just depends on if they're done with Michael Taylor or not, and if what you think of Jason Wirth. But
what about, like, Pedro Severino as a catcher?
He might be. I mean, they got right now the options are Derek Norris and probably Severino or Lobatone.
Yeah, Lobatone.
So I mean, Severino is the best option out of that bunch. I just know if he hits enough now, but the job is his for the future. So he's another guy to invest in a deep league. He's defense first, and that's always a profile that will play. But I mean, he did have a decent debut last year in a very small sample size. So I mean, I expect him. He'll probably be He's got below average power. He's probably below average offensively. But I think he's a guy that's going to get a lot of playing time this year to eat into Norris or Lobaton or whoever you want to invest in. And then I think he might be the full-time guy going forward for several years. I mean, he throws out – the arm strength for him is unreal, some of the best from behind the plate. I know that's not a fantasy tool, but if it was, he'd be one to own.
Any guys that are farther away – I mean, obviously there's some guys at the top of the system that are farther away with some more upside, so let's talk about them.
Well, there's one guy that might challenge Fetty for the first call-up, and I might have misspoke when I said he was the first guy. Austin Voth is there. I'm down on him completely from the fall league, though. I mean, he wasn't even getting the fastball. He was struggling breaking 90 miles an hour. He's one of the guys whose velocity kind of yo-yos, depending on when you see him, is how you form your opinions on him. And I have a hard time gambling on a guy that's fastball sits 87 to 89 nowadays with all the velocity. It doesn't mean he's a bad pitcher, but, I mean, I think long-term he's capped by that, so I think he's number four upside at best. He might come up this year and might have some value in deeper format, but yeah, I'm out.
Okay. So let's talk about those guys that are top of the system but farther away. Let's start with Robles, because he is a name people are really starting to love.
Yeah, I have him my last check on my list. I had him number six overall. To put it in context, the guys in front of him, Benintendi, Moncada, Reyes, Brendan Rodgers in Colorado, and Giolito. Robles was six for me. I think he's a guy with monster upside, 300, 280 hitter. I think I believe in the bat. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say future 300 hitter. 40 stolen bases is entirely possible, and 12 to 15 homers, if not more, if he grows out. He's a plus defensive center fielder with a gun in the outfield. He's an all-around player. He's a better real-life player than fantasy player, and those stats I just rolled off are fucking fantasy gold. I don't know why I'm using so much profanity. I don't really know, but he's got me excited. So, I mean, I guess an early comp, you can say. I mean, I'm really high on Keon Broxton. He's Keon Broxton or Byron Buxton with batting average. I mean, like, it's that kind of ability and that all those skill sets. I mean, he's very similar to Starling Marte, I guess, with the numbers I rattled off. I mean, 300, flirting with 300, 40 steals, 12 to 15 homers. Very similar to Marte, and Marte is going, you know, what, 20 in the early 20s overall, if not higher. So, I mean, I think Robles is going to be a guy whose ultimate ceiling will put him in there. I mean, he barely strikes out, doesn't walk crazy much, but he's an aggressive hitter. And a 6% walk rate for an aggressive hitter that's only 19 years old playing against people older than him is something I'll deal with. I don't know about you.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's a guy I really like as well. Maybe not quite as high on him as you are, but
that's fair.
He's also far away, so I mean.
You heard how much I was swearing about him. So.
Any other guys that are far away that but have some major upside?
Yeah, another guy, Juan Soto, touched on him a little bit ago. He signed for $1.5 million a few years back, 2015, out of Dominican. He's opened his career in the GCL, and he did extremely well. Keep in mind he's playing against guys that are 2, 3, 4 years older than him, and he's doing more than holding his own. Some people were saying he's one of the top three players in the league. He got up to short season ball. In Auburn for short season ball, he slashed 429, 500, 571, and 20 at-bats. His GCL numbers, I'll touch on them again so you can hear how amazing they were. 361, 410, 550, and 170 at-bats. I mean, that's 170 is a small sample, but, I mean, it's not like some of these samples we're talking about when we're talking about minor league numbers, you know. And I think he's a guy he's worth investing in. Yes, he's only 18 years old. He's going to play a full season league at 18. And I think the thing that draws me to him the most is he's 18 years old, he has well more – he's still got projected, like, average power, but the hit tool is already plus. And any time you have an 18-year-old with a plus hit tool, I mean, like, that's crazy, right? You have to gamble on that. I would much rather gamble on – and it's probably an obvious statement, but I don't think it gets said enough. I'd much rather gamble on a player with his age and experience with a plus hit tool than a plus power tool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I don't think that gets said enough. I mean, I know home runs are kind of whatever, but hit tool is elite. Like, hit tool is the best tool for a reason. I mean, it dictates offensive value. If you hit, you play. You've always heard that adage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Soto is a guy, 280, 300, 360, 380 OBP with that high average, and I think he can max out at 20-ish home runs. And that's a hell of a player. I mean, it's going to take a little bit, but maybe not as much as you think if he's going to play full season ball at 18. I mean, it's not against the total realm of possibility he makes a debut at 21 and plays a full first full season at 22.
And he's one of those guys, too, that is probably under the radar for a lot of dynasty leagues. I mean,
yeah, I think that's starting to that window is rapidly closing. I mean, he's getting a lot of club
but
everywhere.
I mean, like, if you're in supplemental drafts, he may be a guy that, you know, goes in the second round of this year's supplemental drafts because guys are, you know, keying in on the, you know, the Motlans and the, you know, Jared Grooms and the guys who are kind of new. And may overlook a guy like Soto because, like, for instance, I'm in a, I think, 15 or 16-team keeper league where we have a 15-man farm system, and he is unowned in that league.
Yeah, and that's a big league for him to be unowned with a guy with that upside. I'd suggest you don't tell anybody and go try to pick him up if you can.
Well, I'm sure half of them are listening right now.
So. Yeah, well, then, yeah. I guess that's the downside, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sniped the dynasty things, but... And I guess another guy I want to talk about that's far away. He was their first round pick this year, Carter Kieboom,
which is like an 80 grade name.
It is, and he has a brother named Spencer Kieboom that played in the majors last year. He came up on the very last day of the season when Ramos tore his ACL, whatever the hell, their day before, and he kind of filled in that little gap in September when they needed a third catcher. So his brother Spencer came up. He's not really the guy, but Carter is. I'm reading, you know, I tout this website almost all the time. I feel like I have to because I use it as one of my main sources. It's baseballdraftreport.com. And they project him out like Kieboom. They look at his – they compare him to where Alex Bregman was entering college because Kieboom was drafted out of college – or out of high school. Where Bregman was out of high school is similar to where Kieboom is out of high school now, talent-wise, they think. Now, I know that's like a big leap.
Yeah, especially because it's so far away.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at a guy who has an above-average hit tool and power tool and probably can stick at shortstop. I mean, I'm not going to throw projections out there, but I mean, you can do the math and figure out that that's probably a pretty valuable offensive player. With average speed, he should chip in a few bases there. He might have to move to third. He's probably better defensive third baseman, but I think he could stick at short, but they have Turner, so who knows what happens. I love Trey Turner. Can I say that on this one?
Yeah, I guess so, even though he's not a prospect.
Yeah, but anyways, I really like Carter Kieboom, so he's a guy he's not getting the pub that a lot of guys in the prospect supplemental drafts are getting. He's a guy, if you can end up with him in the third, fourth round, if you play your cards right, and that's a hell of a gamble there. Another guy I mildly like a little bit here is Andrew Stevenson. He's a center field prospect, number one. He's a elite defensive player. I comped him to like Kevin Kiermaier. I think he's a similar guy. Little bit of power, a little bit of speed, no shit defense. So he's a high energy guy, kind of guy you're not going to like if he's not on your team, kind of deal. But the power speed combination and with plus defense is going to play because he's going to get the playing time. And if the tools manifest itself, you'll have a guy there. A small guy that we overlooked a little bit when we talked about guys that can contribute now, Wilmer Defoe should be available in a lot of leagues. He's a, you know, a utility guy with speed, switch hitter.
Does he still have minor league eligibility?
I believe
rookie eligibility.
I think so. So I want to mention him now just in case if he does. The defense at short isn't great, but he does have the arm for the spot. I mean, you know his game. He's a slap hitter with some speed. But I mean, if a guy goes down or Rendon gets hurt, Defoe can move slide over to third base. You know, he's a guy that he's got a little bit of versatility and could play in a pinch, and if he does well, you never know what happens, right?
So, mm-hmm.
Guy like that's worth knowing. I mean, the system is not as strong as it has been in previous years. I mean, it's not terrible. There's a guy I really, really like out of this year's draft who's getting no publicity whatsoever is Jesus Luzardo. And the thing with him is he's a Tommy John guy. They drafted him knowing he needed Tommy John. You know my love for left-handed pitchers. This one gets the fastball up to 95 when he's healthy. He's a starting pitcher all the way, above average changeup, an above average slider, a decent curveball. He commands the off-speed pitch stuff when he's healthy. He's a guy that probably when he gets back isn't going to really grow much, develop as a pitcher because his skill set's already there. So I think when he proves he's healthy, I think, which he won't pitch next year. So he's a nice last round pick or something in the supplemental draft because he will not pitch in 2017. He'll be ready to go in in 2018. I wouldn't be surprised if he's starting in full season when he's ready because he's a developed guy. Command and control should be good, but you never know when he comes back. But I feel like he's a guy worth mentioning. Nick Banks is another was their fourth round pick this year. He was a really good player for Team USA. He was good at Texas A&M in college. Disappointing injury-riddled junior year before he got drafted. I think he's a guy that's going to play. He's got some power, some speed. He's probably a corner outfielder, so he's a guy worth knowing. Sheldon Neuse is a good guy, good arm strength, good power. Might not hit for average, but he's a guy to pay attention to. He could also pitch a little bit, so if that doesn't work out, you can fall back on that. He's like a baby Todd Frazier. Like his pre-draft comp was like Mike Olt. Remember Mike, like power speed combination. He was always an interesting guy, and Neuse kind of falls into that bag. But other than that, I mean, there's some decent late plays. Look at Oswaldo Abreu. Good shortstop. Rafael Bautista still can hit a little bit. Blake Perkins is an interesting guy. They drafted high 2 years ago, lefty with a hit tool. Anderson Franco can play third. He's kind of a guy. AJ Cole, believe it or not, is still a prospect. We mentioned him earlier. I'm out on him, but he's a guy that might contribute this year. Luis Garcia, he's only 17, got $1.3 million to sign this year. Average power, average speed, average hit tool as a shortstop. Far away, but he's worth gambling. Yasiel Antuna, same boat. The system's got a lot of lotto tickets, but I think they believe in it, and I think that might explain some of the trades they made. So it's decent overall.
All right. Well, that'll wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Definitely check out all the stuff we got on the site. We have full staff ranks. Podcasts going up, multiple times a day at this point. We're getting anywhere from 13 to 14 podcasts a week from Friends Fantasy Benefits. So hopefully we're not overloading your podcast players too much, but I want to give you as much content as we can coming into the 2017 season. And as we get past the team previews, that'll calm down to probably about 5 a week. So hopefully you're enjoying that, though. And if you can, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really, really helps us out. And if you do, and send me a copy of it, either on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits or via email, friendsfantasybenefits@gmail.com. I'll make sure you get into a listener league and or are eligible to win some of the giveaways we have going on later on in the off season. Thank you for listening. For Matt and myself, have a fantastic baseball season.